Hello and welcome to Teaching, Learning, and Everything Else, a series of conversations with innovative educators at colleges and universities across the country. I'm Elizabeth Yost-Hammer, Director of the Center for the Advancement of Teaching at Xavier University of Louisiana. And now, let's talk about teaching, learning, and everything else. Hello, today I'm talking with Dr. Susie Baker, a professor from the Department of Psychology at James Madison University. Susie teaches animal behavior, primatology, and general psychology. In addition to her studying the environmental effects on animal behavior and attitudes toward animals, she's also become interested in social interactions in the virtual world, and she uses this technology in her teaching. Recently, I saw her speak at the annual meeting of the American Psychological Association in Boston about how she uses technology such as Second Life to engage students in her classes. Susie, thank you for talking with me today.
It's nice to be here.
Thanks. For those listeners who have no idea what Second Life is, can you tell us what it is?
Sure. Second Life is what's called a multi-user virtual environment or a virtual world. Second Life is it's run by a company called Linden Lab that's based in San Francisco, and it's been open since about 2003. Within Second Life, what users do is log on and they create a character. It's called an avatar, and that avatar represents themselves in the virtual world. So once you've created your avatar in Second Life, you can go into this virtual world, move around in the virtual world, interact with other avatars or other people that are in the virtual world, and do, you know, all kinds of interesting things in that virtual world. Second Life is not the only virtual world that's out there. There are plenty of other virtual worlds. Some of them are more focused one way or another. Second Life is focused a lot on social interaction, but there are also a lot of colleges and universities that are getting into using Second Life as part of teaching and learning and as a way of engaging students.
How do you specifically use it in your teaching? How have you begun to use it?
Well, the main way that I've used Second Life is when I've been teaching an online class. At least during the summers, I teach online classes that are they're completely online. The students don't have any kind of face-to-face interaction at all. They're at locations, you know, all over the state or sometimes even in other countries. And what I've used Second Life for is as a way to meet with students. So I have virtual office hours. It's also a way that students could meet in small groups. So students that were, you know, at widely separate locations could meet in small groups in Second Life to work on group projects. One of the other ways that faculty can use Second Life, although I haven't tried this myself yet, is one of the characteristics of Second Life is that the content within the virtual world is all user-created. So, for example, you can, if you go to a campus, a university campus in Second Life, this has all been created by the people at that university. So you can create a virtual campus. You can make it look like whatever you want it to look like. And you can also create objects. So if you wanted, for example, to create a virtual lab that your students could use to collect data or explore a topic, if you wanted to create models of chemicals to simulate chemical processes, a model of the brain and nervous system, all of those things are possible within Second Life. It has a fairly easy building tool in it so that you can build virtually anything that you could imagine.
Talking about like your virtual office hours, and then students getting to meet in groups, what's the benefit of that over, you know, using technology like Second Life versus just doing it in a chat room or on just via email?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, and I think at this point, I think the real answer to that at this point is, well, we don't know exactly what the benefits are. I think there is a different level of engagement that you can get if you're actually in this world. It's a very visual sort of thing. So you have all the visual cues of being in the same space with another individual at the same time. And you don't get those kind of visual cues from interacting in a chat room, for example. So there's a whole concept in looking at virtual worlds. It's the or at online interaction generally. It's the concept of presence, that feeling of being in the same location with another individual, and having that visual input of, you know, being in the same world, seeing another individual in that world, interacting with objects and so on, maybe adds that extra level of engagement.
Interesting. I don't want to just focus on Second Life. I want to talk about kind of technology use, you know, broadly defined. What are some, or are there other technologies that you've used in class that, you know, Facebook or those kind of things? What are some of the technologies you've used?
Well, when I teach online, I use a lot of kind of standard online technologies. For example, I don't know what kind of course management system a lot of people have, but the one that we have here at JMU, we use Blackboard. I think that's standard one that a lot of people use. And one of the really nice things about a lot of course management systems is the discussion board feature. It works well with some course management systems and not as well with others, but I think one of the things that is nice about teaching an online class is that opportunity to have that asynchronous discussion using the discussion board feature. One of the things that is really different for me about teaching the class online and teaching the class face-to-face in terms of discussion is that I always tell people, you know, I teach my face-to-face class Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning. And this is not an optimal time for most undergraduates for discussion. I can tell when I look out at the room that, you know, a lot of them, they maybe have just gotten out of bed, and this is not their favorite time of day to engage in an in-depth discussion. But when there's a discussion board online, you know, the students can log on when it's good for them and when it's, you know, the optimum time for them to engage in the material. They can read what another student has written. They can reflect on that, and they can come back later on and, you know, add their thoughts. And I think that the level of discussion that that enables can be pretty remarkable. You know, I've gotten discussions going in my online classes using that I certainly haven't gotten in my face-to-face class. And that's something that you can use online, but if you teach a face-to-face class, you can also incorporate an online discussion as part of that. And then I've done that before, and the students actually bring some of those online discussion topics into the class. It's like, you know, they're not just thinking about the material Monday, Wednesday, and Friday during this 50-minute period on those three mornings. They're actually thinking about it and engaging with it at other times as well. I have used Facebook. I'm really sort of experimenting still with using that, but the main way that I've used Facebook is, once again, for my online class. This past summer, I had a Facebook group for the students. It was optional. They didn't have to join, but almost all of them did join. Most of them were already in Facebook, so joining another group was not a big step for them. And the students, I didn't have any specific agenda for Facebook for the class. I really wanted to provide them with another opportunity to form a community among themselves. I think one of the things about teaching online is that can cause students to kind of disengage from the class and, you know, stop doing the work in the classes. They feel they don't get that interaction with one another, so they can feel disengaged from the class. And I think if you can do things to help them form a community, that can be really beneficial. And I started the group. I told them they could talk about whatever they wanted to. It was pretty interesting because most of them did talk about class-relevant things. They posted videos and links to interesting websites. Mm-hmm. When I evaluated at the end of the semester, and it was pretty positive. You know, some of the students were like, wow, I never thought about doing this before, but they did enjoy it. They reported that they really enjoyed the opportunity of getting to see the face of the person that was on the discussion board.
Mm-hmm. And that's a function that Facebook or those type of social network sites can offer that Blackboard doesn't.
There might be a way for students to attach a picture to Blackboard in the discussion board, but I'm not sure if there is, in all honesty. And I think the fact that, you know, connecting via Facebook, that also, you know, gave them the opportunity to learn additional things about each other as well, if they, you know, were friends with that person or became friends with that person as a result of the discussion board.
Did you kind of have talked a lot about teaching this, you know, online class versus your face-to-face class, and so that makes me think, were you assigned to teach an online class, or did you choose it, and do you think it was that, you know, teaching an online class that kind of led you to use these kind of technologies?
Yeah, I was not assigned to teach an online class. At JMU, they've done a fair amount to promote online classes, particularly during the summer, to try to provide that option for students to, you know, get ahead in a course or two, or, you know, that sort of thing. And most of our students are not staying in this area during the summer. So the university has done a fair amount to promote and expand the online program, especially during the summer. I wasn't assigned to teach the class online, but I wanted to teach it online. I thought I would have that would really open up the student population that I could offer it to, rather than being just restricted to the students who happen to stay here during the summer. It would give the option to take the class to a lot more students. And I think that's a really good question, because I think that you're right. I think, you know, being kind of, I wasn't forced to do it, but kind of forced, if you will, to think about how to do the course online, that really pushed me to try some things that I probably, you know, I probably wouldn't have tried otherwise. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't even have thought about the possibilities.
Has there been, like, spillover now that you're doing this, on, you know, type of things like Second Life in your online classes? Are you finding yourself integrating them into the face-to-face classes as well?
I think, especially the discussion board. I've certainly done that with classes. I think the Second Life experience, what that really caused me to do was to get a lot more interested in this technology and what it might work for and what it might not work for, kind of exploring those ideas. And so what I've done actually is start a research group. I now have a small research group of students that, you know, works with me in Second Life, you know, trying to read some of the research on this topic and explore some of those issues about, you know, how do people interact in the virtual world? How does that compare to social interactions in a face-to-face context? Both looking at, you know, how is that relevant for teaching, and just as a general, you know, as psychologists, we're interested in human interaction. So kind of looking at it from just the general interest in human behavior perspective as well.
So you've turned it into not only a teaching tool now, but a scholarly endeavor.
It kind of started, you know, it's one of those things, you kind of get interested in it and, you know, you're intrigued by the possibilities and it raises a lot of interesting questions, and next thing you know.
Yeah. Oh, neat. One other thing I wanted to mention, building off what you just said, you mentioned gathering student feedback about the Facebook interactions,
mm-hmm.
and how that went. Have you gathered student feedback and data about the Second Life stuff that you're doing?
I have at this point, unfortunately, only a very small amount of data, just from a very small number of students. For the most part, the students have been very positive about using Second Life. I think, you know, their responses are varied. I think, you know, like faculty responses to different kinds of technology are varied. I think it's important to remember that student responses are going to be varied, too. As faculty, I think sometimes we have the impression that, you know, our students are all, you know, light years ahead of any of us in terms of technology. But, in some ways they are, and in some ways they're not. So they vary just like faculty vary in terms of, you know, their willingness to try new technologies and their comfort level and their experience level. But for the most part, the students have been very positive about Second Life. I think they kind of see it as sort of a novel thing, a fun thing to try. Some of the negatives have been more related to the not related so much to the experience of interacting in the virtual world, but related to the learning curve that's involved.
Hmm.
You have to log in and create an avatar. You have to learn how to move around in the virtual world and, you know, how to get from place to place. You have to learn how to talk to other people in the virtual world. So there's a little bit of a learning curve. And also, sometimes there are just technical issues in terms of not having computer equipment that can actually handle one kind of technology or another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the case for lots of technologies, but virtual world technologies tend to be very graphics intensive. And so if you don't have a computer that's got a graphics card that can handle that, then that can be a really frustrating experience.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you mentioned that about the, you know, various kind of student capabilities and that sort of thing, because in the most recent Chronicle, I don't know if you've seen this, there's a article in there called Generational Myths,
mm-hmm.
and it talks about that exact kind of thing, kind of debunking this idea that
mm-hmm.
this is the, you know, digital generation and everybody comes in.
Exactly. I mean, last week I went to a conference at Virginia Tech. It was the Electronic Campus of Virginia. And one of the speakers there was Mike Wesch. I think he's at, Kansas. And he and his students created this really well-known video. It's on YouTube. It's called A Portrait of Students Today. And he uses a lot of technology in his classes, and that's what he was talking about. But he started off his talk by saying, and I don't know if this is his quote or someone else's, but he started off his talk by saying, you know, first of all, I want to say there are no digital natives.
Mm.
And he said if we look at a lot of these technologies, they're very new. Second Life just started in 2003, and other virtual worlds are either just slightly older or, you know, even newer than that. Facebook, I looked up, the date that started, February 2004.
Wow.
So it's not like, you know, our students have been doing this since infancy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're learning just like we're learning as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to shift the conversation a little bit now, because one thing, when I was at your talk in Boston, one thing that came up during the discussion part afterwards was some kind of resistance or some negative faculty responses. What happened is people in the audience kind of brought up the creepiness factor of dealing with this, kind of technology, that meeting students in the virtual world or meeting them in their cyberspace has boundary issues or this creepiness factor to it. And I know that you and other people on the panel were asked, did it feel creepy? Did
mm-hmm.
your peers think it was creepy? And I was wondering if you would just comment on that.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting question because in terms of Facebook, I will say that it hasn't felt creepy to me, and I think, you know, that might be a function of how I used it. I mean, I started the group for the class, and so it was very obviously, you know, for the class. The students knew that I was going to be, you know, a member of the group, obviously. But I also, once I joined Facebook, I didn't pursue friendships with the students, so I didn't ask them to be my friends. I didn't require that they were my friends. And I've really maintained that in terms of my Facebook profile. If a student asks me to be their friend, then I always accept their friendship. I mean, one of my goals for trying Facebook, and, you know, I didn't know anything about it. I was just, okay, the students are using this. I'm going to try it. I'm going to see what it's like. But one of my goals was to see, you know, what are the students doing on here? What is this like, you know,
mm-hmm.
from their perspective? And so because I wanted to use it as a way to connect with them more, you know, that's why I decided, okay, if they want to be my friend, I'll be their friend. But I haven't asked any of them to be my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the ways that I've kind of tried to maintain that social boundary. In terms of Second Life, I think one of the interesting things about that was in talking with my research students who had worked in there with me, and we had interacted a lot in Second Life. The group was set up so that we met once a week face-to-face and once a week in Second Life. So we had interacted a lot in the virtual world. And it's an entire world that's in there. I mean, there's amusement parks, there's museums, there's university campuses, coffee shops, shopping malls, everything. And one of the things that the students said to me that they enjoyed about Second Life was the opportunity to interact with a faculty member in a different environment, in a non-class setting. So, you know, that was something that they appreciated. I think that they still recognized, you know, that I was a faculty member. I don't think that they, I don't think they felt the creepiness factor. In fact, they expressed that as that was something they felt was positive, was having that opportunity. So I can certainly see, you know, how that could go both ways. Can't remember. Someone else was going to say. I can't remember what it was, but I could certainly see how that could kind of go both ways. But I think, you know, that's up to, you know, the faculty and the students to kind of recognize what kind of boundaries there are there. And I think that's the case in face-to-face interactions as well. You know, there are plenty of faculty who, you know, will meet with their students at a coffee shop to, you know, discuss, to talk over readings or have a thesis meeting, you know, like over lunch. And I think most of us wouldn't think that that was, you know, out of bounds. So I think, you know, we're humans and our students are adults. And so I think, you know, kind of recognizing that we are going to be interacting with them sometimes outside of a classroom setting.
Do you think, recognize this is kind of a leading way to ask the question, but do you think that some of that creepiness that faculty might feel about it comes from their own not understanding about it or their own kind of ignorance about the virtual worlds, or and I should say my own too. I don't use it, but I mean, do you think that it's rooted in just not understanding?
I think it might be. You know, Facebook in particular, you know, does in a way feel like a very young environment to me. And when, you know, I think about Facebook, I think I don't know a lot of people of my age that are on Facebook. And I'm 50, I'll just give that out there, but so you can tell about what age group I'm coming from. But you know, I've certainly noticed that my younger colleagues, you know, faculty that we've recently hired who are right out of graduate school, they're already on Facebook. And they're on Facebook with, you know, their fellow graduate students. And so this is not an unusual environment for them, and they're used to interacting over Facebook and posting things on each other's walls and, you know, all the different ways that you can, you know, commenting on each other's photographs that are on your Facebook profile and so on. So that might be simply a matter of it is a different way of interacting.
Well, and that leads me to another question that just, you know, I'd like to know, before you got involved, and you mentioned a few minutes ago that you were just kind of open to this, you know, saying students were using it, so you wanted to see what it was about. Would you describe yourself as a techie? I mean, have you
not
always
at all
been? Okay, yeah, I wonder if you would comment on that. Like, what's your comfort level? And yeah.
No, really, not at all. And I tried Second Life really completely blind. I was part of a faculty group here at JMU it's run by our Center for Faculty Innovation. And what they do is get a small group of faculty together to discuss some aspect that's related to teaching. And they give you a general topic, and they just say, you know, we want you all to meet together, we want you to pursue this topic, come up with a project, and do it. And so it's a very open-ended sort of program. The group that I was part of, our topic was online teaching. And so we started reading and discussing, and we decided, you know, there was a fair amount out there already about different technologies used in online teaching and some information about best practices and so on. So we thought we wanted to explore something that none of us had ever heard of before. And we started reading about Second Life, and we were like, well, this sounds kind of cool. We don't know anything about it. Let's just go for it. So I went from knowing nothing about it to, you know, the place where I am today in just, you know, a year and a half or so.
Hmm.
So I'm by no means an expert in this. And Facebook was the same way. I just thought, okay, the students are using this. I just want to know what this is. And, you know, I think that's one way certainly to find out about new technologies in addition to talking to other people that use them is just try them. I think it's important to try things. As a teacher, I think it's important to try things and figure out, you know, what do you like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What technologies, you know, get you excited and make you think about new and creative ways that you could use them in teaching? Because I think it's important, you know, if you're going to – some of these technologies, you have to invest some time and some effort into learning how to use them and learning how to use them well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important that we as faculty are kind of excited and interested about using them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does model – lifelong learning, which is thing most of us want to pass on to our students.
Yeah, and I think, you know, too, I think I always figured, you know, I'll try this, and I'm probably not going to break the computer.
Yeah.
And if I do, someone will probably come and help me fix it. And, you know, that's worst case scenario is, well, I wasted a little bit of time, but I learned that I didn't, you know, I didn't want to try to use this technology, that I didn't see, you know, a particular application for it or,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just wasn't fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in using new technologies, you know, our students are going to be, at least some of them, are going to be, you know, anxious about it too. So
mm-hmm.
it's really helpful to find something that's fun to use
mm-hmm.
that they're going to want to try.
Yeah, and engage in, and
mm-hmm.
if that's the goal. Finally here then, I wondered if you might just want to offer some last words of advice for faculty who are interested in exploring the applications of these types of technologies in their teaching.
Sure. And none of this is going to be, you know, earth-shattering, but I think, you know, it's easy to get overwhelmed by all the technologies that are out there because there's so much stuff that's out there, new stuff all the time, changing all the time. And so I think one of the things that's important, in addition to you know, trying out things to see what you enjoy, is to match the technology to your teaching goals. I mean, there's no reason to use a new technology if it's not going to serve a goal in teaching. So matching the teaching to your pedagogy, think about what your goals are first and then think about, okay, how could I accomplish this? And another thing I would say is to tell your students, you know, what the goals are. You know, why are you having them mm-hmm. use this new technology? Otherwise, at the end of the semester, you might end up with something like, I don't know why we used, you know, blank,
mm-hmm.
whatever that was. I didn't see the point of that. Another recommendation I would have would be to start small. Don't feel like you have to use every technology that's out there all at once, or no matter what you're using, you know, start off using it in a small way and see how that goes. And find a technology mentor. That's my
mm-hmm.
other suggestion. If you're trying to use something new, you know, find somebody, you know, it's nice to find someone in your right down the hall that's used it. That's best. But, you know, someone in your department or at your university, or if you can't find one of them, you know, even someone, you know, at another university that has used this before and can kind of, you know, help you sort through what's going to work and what's not going to work and so on. I know with Second Life, for example, there's an amazing educators discussion list that, you know, if you had a problem or an issue, you could ask a question. It's several thousand people on that list.
Hmm.
So I'm sure there are other technologies that are the same.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Great suggestions. Thank you very much. Susie, I enjoyed talking to you
this
about teaching, learning, and everything else. Thank you so much for your time.
I enjoyed it, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this installment of Teaching, Learning, and Everything Else. For more information, please visit our website at cat.xula.edu. That's cat.xula.edu. Until next time, this is Elizabeth Yost-Hammer.